Hello and welcome to 2BS Till Takeoff, the podcast inspired by conversations overheard at the airport bar. Join Phil as he grabs a couple of beers and chats with interesting people from around the world, sharing expert knowledge and hilarious stories that you won't find in your guidebook. So pull up a stool and get ready for an adventure as we explore worlds of travel and beyond with 2BS Till Takeoff.
4 hours in a Taliban headquarters.
Bad dog meat in Laos.
Was it golden retriever?
Smack a dirty old smooch on our beautiful fish right here.
He didn't die, but he fell down the side of the mountain.
Welcome to 2BS Till Takeoff. My name is Phil, and today we have a fan favorite on the episode today. A man from England, which is 100% a country, by the way. Welcome to the show, Sid.
I'm assuming that was my long-awaited apology for disrespecting my country. Accepted, by the way.
I don't think that you deserve an apology from me, because guess what, buddy? Look at our money. You guys are the colonizers. You guys should apologize to us.
You're welcome that we made you a country.
Thank you.
No problem. Anytime.
How much money do we give you guys as the monarchy? I don't even know.
I assume nothing, though.
I'm pretty sure we do. How much do you guys give to the, like, as the public of Britain? How much money do you guys give to the monarchy?
I watched a video about this the other day, and it was just to do with some of the properties. It's something to do with like 85 million a year.
Jesus.
Yeah, one of the kings many moons ago, he came into some financial difficulties, and he basically agreed with the government at the time to give the land back to the people in exchange for a constant flow of tax money.
Interesting.
It was the deal just completely fucked like the taxpayer.
Okay, you guys pay a little bit more than we do. We pay, I just googled it, and it's $1.55 from each Canadian per year.
Dude, that's still a waste of 150.
I mean, to be fair, 155, I'm not sure you can get much with that anymore in Canada.
Not in Canada, no.
Okay, dude, we have to address something that's like, the you're the last person I ever expected to be texting me these things. You said, do you think the Sens are going to beat the Vegas Golden Knights? The Sens, in this case, are the Ottawa Senators. And you said, do you think Vladimir Tarasenko is going to be the MVP this year? What the fuck is going on? And now you have a hockey guy on your fucking shirt.
Yeah, look at this guy, man. I couldn't find a Sens jersey, so this was the best I could do. Right. The thing is, you know, I've always enjoyed the NFL, but all this shit with Taylor Swift and then the Chiefs winning, I was like, fuck, I need a new sport. So I was like, I'm going to get into hockey. And I it has to be a Canadian team. I can't support a team south of the border. It can't be the team from Montreal, because, you know, I don't really associate with Quebec. Not that I'm xenophobic or anything.
Vive le Québec.
But it had to be someone who hates the Leafs, because I hate the Leafs too, so I can get on board with that straight away. So I was like, yeah, the Sens, those are my guys.
Wow.
So yeah, following all the games, watching all the highlights, loving it.
Have you found any hockey games? You're currently in Brazil, right? So have you found any games at the bars?
No, it's not really been possible so far. I haven't given up hope though. There's many bars left to visit. One of them will have my back.
Maybe one of the funnier stories coming out of 2BS Till Takeoff this year. Sid, fan of the Sens, who knew? I mentioned that you're back in Brazil, but like, where exactly are you in Brazil? And can you maybe give us an update since the trivia episode? What's been going on?
Yeah, I haven't moved much since then, which has been nice actually to chill out a little bit. I'm in a place called Vila Velha, which is in Espírito Santo. And most of you have probably now heard the name of the city and the state and still have no fucking idea what I'm talking about.
I thought that was like a prayer.
That's because a lot of Brazilians probably also couldn't point to this. It's like the forgotten state of the Southeast.
Right.
There was a video that I was watching the other day, right? And like, you know, when people impersonate things on the map, yeah? And this guy was like impersonating, he's like, oh, hi, I'm São Paulo. I'm the biggest economy in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And also a complete shithole, yeah? And then the next was like, hi, I'm Rio, yeah? And the last one was, hi, I'm Espírito Santo. And it just cut because it had nothing to say about it, because nobody knows anything about
Espírito
this place.
Santo.
It's one state north of Rio.
Okay. Oh, Espírito Santo. So would Santos be there?
No, that's in São Paulo.
Okay. Okay. Yes, South. I just saw you. Okay. Hey, you. Come here. I got a secret for you. This episode is sponsored by No Days Wasted, a leader in the hangover supplement. This episode is sponsored by No Days Wasted, a leader in the sum. This episode is sponsored by No Days Wasted, a leader in the hangover supplement industry. Listeners can now get 15% off their next purchase by using promo code 2BEERS in all caps at checkout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the capital is called Vitoria, which is one of the smallest state capitals. I said this to you on the phone the other day, yeah? Geographically, it looks like Rio. So our mountains are like half, we've got all the beaches and shit, yeah? But our mountains are half the size, but our crime rate is one-tenth. Mm. You know, you don't have all the hassle of having millions of people there because it's a small city. You don't have like thousands of tourists just flooding the place. I hate tourists, unless it's me, obviously. Or you, you're all right as well. Or anyone listening. You're all legends, guys. I love you.
The best.
Yeah, but, you know, this is just like a string of different beaches. You know, you've got some that are good for windsurfing, some that are very calm, some where you can go to see turtles, some for kayaking. Yeah, you've got mountains and stuff just sprouting out of the ground. Looks like something from Avatar.
Right.
But then other than that, and it's just really chilled. Like, you can walk around at night with your Rolex on and your iPhone out and no one will bother you. Whereas in Rio, you know, you can't even walk around with a Nokia during the daytime.
Yeah, Rio's becoming very, if not already established, kind of synonymous with getting robbed. Like, just for example, your boy Seal, who was just on, was there during the carnival and got robbed. You experienced a carnival as well, right?
Yeah, and carnival here pretty much matches the description that I just gave you of the city, to be honest, because it's not wild. It's not like thousands and thousands of people, but we still do the blockers, which is, you know, there isn't a way to translate that. It's like basically they put a band on top of a car and then the car, or like a big van, yeah, and the van will drive around, yeah, and people are just walking on the street, dancing and drinking, and you follow it around and it goes for like a little tour around a certain part of the city.
So it's like a parade? Drunken parade?
It's like a parade, but you move with it. You're not stationary.
Okay, so you are the parade.
You are the parade. You are following the van.
Okay, so you get your cardio in.
So you get a little bit of cardio in, yeah. You know, it's good as a tourist as well. It's like having a guide.
Do they give you like, oh, the historical, this building here was built in 1616?
It's a little bit like that, but no. So here, you know, I think the block I went to the first day was about, I don't know, maybe 500 people. Yeah, it's good enough to have a good time, good atmosphere. You know, people there in fancy dress, loads of beers, obviously, you know, but there's no hassle.
Right.
You know, you could walk around again with your phone out and stuff, no issues. Nobody bothered anybody. I didn't see any fights. You know, there was loads of space if you wanted to drop back.
Interesting.
You know, but you still had, you know, people running around, or say people, mostly girls running around in bikinis, a few guys as well, you know, all the young crowd. It was, man, if you're a young single guy, it's a good place to go.
And was that your first carnival that you've experienced in Brazil?
Properly, yes, because the one we did in João Pessoa was basically non-existent, because that part of the country's got a slightly different culture for it. They're more into a different festival that's in June. Also, it was just off the back of COVID, and, you know, it was still a little bit sketchy about what was going on. And the others, yeah, were COVID.
Interesting. I have a question for you. Do you think that it's more likely that the Sens will win the cup next year, or that Brendan, aka Don Kilvo, will come visit you to Brazil?
I think it's more likely that Brendan visits me. Dude, Brendan spoke to me the other day. He said that he wants to go to Rio. Yeah, he wants to spend a week, 10 days in Rio. I said to him, dude, I understand. When everybody comes here for the first time, it's what people dream of. It's what they really want to do. Yeah, because we've got these images, you know, the big Jesus, the sugar loaf. But I just think it just isn't the best thing to do. Like, I'd so much rather go run off and do something in the Amazon.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I did also do the same thing the first time I came here like 10 years ago. The first thing I did was went straight to Rio and I spent 2 weeks there.
And then you ended up living there.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I shouldn't just completely rag on it, but I've got a little bit of a bee in my bonnet with Rio.
Yeah. Have you gotten into running again?
I have been trying to pick it up. Yeah, I was looking to do an event, but I was unsure what to do. It's one of the nice things about living at the beach. It's just good to do sports all year round, you know, and good paths for running, cycling, swimming. Good spot to train for an Ironman, really.
Is that what you're looking to do?
Oh, man. The problem I've got is I've got an event to go to in October. And after that, I was going to go back to Europe for a couple of months.
Which we'll get to soon.
Oh, do you know about this as well? Great.
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going back to Europe for a couple of months. I don't want to buy a really nice bike and then get fucked leaving it behind or trying to sell it and definitely taking a big loss on it. So And also, I swim like shit. Like, I can swim. I don't sink or anything like that.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm not... I look like an injured seal. That probably does an injustice to injured seals.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was thinking just to actually stick to the running. I just need to pick what to do and get, you know, focused on it. But running well at the moment, quick, strong, you know.
Nice. Do you?
And you?
Yeah, man, I'm back to it too. I started kind of in January. I got sidetracked again with a fucking injury again, but I'm now back to, I'd say, about 90%. Hoping to finish a marathon this year if the body doesn't break down again, or to planning to do a marathon this year and to do one. So yeah, we'll see, man. But it's a day at a time right now, and just making sure that the shin splints don't re-aggravate. Funny thing enough is I actually went to go buy some new shoes recently. I was watching a video on the past shoes I had, because I got the, so I have the Asics Cumulus 25s, and then I bought the Asics Cumulus 26. Anyways, I was watching a video just to see the reviews and what people were saying about them. And there's a guy who comes on and he's like, listen, I bought the 25s, which are the ones that I had. And he's like, I ran with them for a while, and he's like, I kept getting injured. I got shin splints. I got this and that. And he's like, the reason why is because your heel strike is a lot wider, which apparently flares up the tension into your shin, funny enough. So he's like, I actually ran with them for a while, got injured, and then just stopped using them. He's like, the 26, I haven't had that issue any at all. So anyways, I'm not using the 25s anymore, and I'm under the 26. Hopefully there's no injuries.
Interesting. A specific shoe problem.
Yeah, and I wasn't looking.
Oh, that's what
I never even thought that there was an issue with the shoe, but I just watched a video reviewing the 26s, and he was talking about the 25s and just brought it up. So it was interesting.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. I think I still rock around in a pair of sixes or something like that. Probably got the originals. Not updated for a while, but...
Speaking of running, dude, I came across this YouTube account. This guy's called The Hardest Geezer. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, he sounds tough though.
Russ Cook. He's a guy from England, I think, and he is in the process of running the entire length of Africa.
Oh, wow.
And he's a ginger British guy.
Oh, wow. That's brave.
Yeah, dude. I think up to date, he's like completed like 10,000 kilometers. He's doing like 60K a day.
That's insane.
Dude. I'm just like, I'm watching. I'm like, I can't believe what you're doing. Like, I'm sure some of it he's walking or whatever, but because it's extreme heat, he's in different climates. You know what I mean? Tropical, desert. He's running through everything. Right now, he's in Mauritania, and he's having to run at night, getting stuck in sandstorms in the middle of the night. It's insane, dude. I encourage you to check it out. It's his name's Russ Cook, and his Instagram handle is Hardest Geezer. So you know he's a good boy.
Yeah, wow, dude. I was reading about the world record for the 6-day race has just been set by a woman as well. So gender equality and all that.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, I can't remember if it was 540 miles or 540 kilometers, but either way, it was insane. Like it's literally just run, hydrate, nap, run, hydrate, nap. And you're
That's
doing
insane.
like for 6 days straight, you're basically doing an ultra marathon. But this Russ Cook is not far off that average somehow, which is wild.
Yeah, man. Anyways, he's in another level. Like the guy is just sleeping in a caravan basically, and it's just basically following him. He's just getting in, like it's insane. He's just about to finish. He's finishing in Tunisia. I'm really excited to kind of follow along. It's definitely inspiring when you know what I mean. You're getting into the marathon training. You're like, oh, this guy's doing 60 a day. Are you serious? Can't
dude. There must be some rest days in there, because he's going to be eating and sleeping like shit at times as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they're pumping out videos like daily almost.
Oh, fair enough to him. I'm just thinking, like, if you're in rural Ghana and it's like a sweltering 40 degrees as well, what do you think you're eating and drinking for hydration, dude? That's
yeah, he's gotten sick throughout the journey, like diarrhea and this and that. And yeah, anyways, yeah. I'm actually looking to have him on at some point, so I'd love to ask him and get more details on the trip. I think it'd be a really cool
yeah
episode.
Yeah, good chat. Yeah.
But yeah, actually there's something I gotta bring up. The other day I was looking to put on some tunes that are going for a run, and I came across the Space Jam album. Did you ever watch Space Jam, like Space Jam 1, Michael Jordan?
Yeah, the proper one. Yeah, the real one. Yeah, I tried to watch the fake one on a bus in Mexico, but I couldn't take LeBron James seriously with a Spanish accent. So I didn't bother. But dude, the first one was awesome. That was like part of my childhood.
Yeah, dude. And to be fair, it is actually a really good, it's a really good like soundtrack. Anyways, there's something that I noticed that's kind of fucked up, is that Space Jam soundtrack is labeled as a children's music. And I just think that it's really fucked up that there's only one artist on there that comes up twice, and it's R. Kelly.
Yeah, I remember some of the songs now.
Yeah, I was like, oh, boys, maybe not him. But anyways, go check that album out. It's still actual fire. Go check it out. Basketball Jones series, Chris Rock, Barry White, love it. I guess we've got an announcement to make on the podcast. Sid mentioned it a little bit. He's got a trip coming up to Canada, and the reason why he has a trip coming up to Canada is because your boy's getting married. Got engaged in Peru, and finally we decided on a date. We're getting married this year, and anyways, I'm super excited for you to come. I'd like to know what you want. You've already been to Canada. You've already come to New Brunswick. I'd like to know what you're looking to get out of this trip.
Well, I think I sent you a list the other day.
Yeah.
Which, if I remember off the top of my head, it was number one, watch the Sens. Though Ottawa was a little bit far away, and I don't think they're playing the St. John Sea Dogs anytime soon.
Yeah, no.
Number two was, like, I think, go for a beer with your dad.
Yeah.
Which is much more feasible.
Yeah, I think we can definitely do that.
Might even get that done on the first afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think other than that was do some mushrooms.
Yeah.
When in Rome, and if we can kill something, that would be great.
Mm.
Like, preferably an animal, not a human being, just to reiterate that. But yeah, that would be an experience for me.
Yeah, because last time when you came, you got a chance to go hunting with my dad, and you got to shoot a gun. Was that the first time you shot a gun?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of guns. We're more like knife guys in England, you know. You might go out and get shanked, but you'll never get shot.
Wow.
Rarely.
I guess we've never really talked about this, but what was your experience like shooting a gun for the first time?
Yeah, it was cool, you know. I assume he's not going to get in trouble for this. We had a couple of beers. We went looking for moose. We couldn't find anything. We took the quad bike out. We got stuck. And we're like, all right, this is probably as good as we're going to get. Let's line up some beer cans and start shooting them. So we lined them up. Man, and I went straight through a tin of moose head.
Okay, shit. Nice.
Yeah. So, it was a pretty good experience. Like, and I know that there's, I don't know if the technical word is recoil. I'm not really much of a gun nut.
Yeah.
But when it recoils, like he prepared me well for it. So I didn't like fly back or drop the gun or anything because I thought I was going to embarrass myself, but I was quite ready for it because he told me what was going to happen.
Was it?
And yeah. You know, as a natural athlete, I was pretty good at it.
Was it what you were expecting a gun to feel like?
I don't feel like I got any warm fuzziness from it. It just felt like playing a game, really.
Okay. Felt like I had the carnival.
Maybe if I shot a live object, the feeling would be different. But shooting a beer can, I just felt like, yeah, this is something.
Right. I think we should try to get you shooting a larger caliber gun too. One time I was hunting with my dad's cousin and I shot his, I think it was a 303 or 308. No, it's 303. And man, I shot, and after the shot rang, like, I didn't know where I was. That's how strong it was.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, this segment has probably got a few of the American listeners just fucking rock hard.
Dude, right now. we gotta pander to the number one audience, right? Stop,
like,
American.
Yeah, cut the running segment. Cut the running segment. Not interesting to them. Guns. We'll have more in our space.
Dude, we should try to get a promo code for the for some guns. That'd be pretty wild. I don't know if they ship internationally. Yeah. Bunch of people in Palestine, like.
Jesus. That's Ramadan for those boys today.
Yeah, shout out to Ramadan. To them. Yeah, the people doing Ramadan, shout out.
Dude, we did a Ramadan episode last year, didn't we? I was in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it's true.
It was in Egypt when we spoke, but I went to Saudi Arabia afterwards. Dude, wild.
Yeah.
Interesting time of the year. Not eating during the daytime, I don't really get it, but each to their own, I suppose.
Yeah, dude, support it. It's all good. I guess on the subject, you know, we talked about, you know, your trip to New Brunswick and experiencing that. Let's maybe do a quick top five of our trips that we've ever done. So maybe let's run through the trips that we've done and just let's each do a top five. So
yeah, I like that. Like, it's like a tag team top five kind of thing. We both got one going on. This is cool.
Yeah,
new concept. Yeah, keeping it fresh for the listeners.
This is exploratory times at Two Beers Till Takeoff. We're just trying new stuff. See what happens. See what sticks. Anyways,
throwing a couple Hail Marys.
Yeah. So. I don't know if I've forgotten any, dude, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 trips. So I've got Scotland. We went there after Malta. Scotland, I think the big highlight was probably the Highlands in terms of what happened.
Well, you say that. I didn't go to the Highlands with you.
You didn't?
No, I'd gone back by then.
Oh, fuck yeah. Left. Okay, shit, okay.
I did Edinburgh with you when we went to do the whiskey tasting and went to the castle.
Dude, did you know that the beginning of that trip actually was today? I landed in London for the first time in Europe 12 years ago today.
Oh, wow. Autumn anniversary.
Yeah. Next trip is after Scotland. We went to England. We went up to Bognor Regis, got to hang with some of the boys, got to meet Brandon. Brendan puked at the bar accidentally, which was kind of like a family bar, family restaurant.
It was only about 6 o'clock in the evening as well. Yeah, there weren't too many other highlights from that trip, though.
I learned what a Jippo was.
Well, it's knowledge for life for that, isn't it?
And I remember we had cigars at one bar, but I think that's pretty much the highlights. We were kind of travel fatigued at that point. It was the end of a three and a half month trip.
Yeah, I was coming off the back of about 5 months, and I was like 18 and flat broke.
Yeah,
like I had minus money coming back from that trip.
Yeah.
Malta killed me.
Yeah, Malta killed you. Yeah. Anyway, so next, I guess Malta is where we met. We had jobs there. Malta was just the shit. We just partied almost every night, and Malta just turned out to be one of the coolest places that we've been to. Paris is another one we went. I was studying there. Sid and I, we met up together, and I guess the highlight for me is meeting up with Mikael, one of the guys that we had met in Malta.
Oh, that was the big guy, the dentist.
The dentist. We all went to go party with the dentist that we're graduating, and one of the guys decided to throw a wine bottle at a cop car that was driving by while we were all going to the ceremony or the party. And then they threw us up against the wall and started searching us, and Sid was like, can I? It was two guys searching us and a woman in the back, and Sid's like, can the woman cop search me?
Bring the woman.
Sid, I was like, shit, shut the fuck up. Next up on the list, I guess, is New Brunswick. We did, you shot some guns. You had some fun with my dad.
I joined the police force.
You went on you want to maybe talk about that one?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the main thing to say was that it started off really slowly. I was just riding around in the car with this guy.
With a police officer.
And we didn't really see a lot. Yeah. But yeah, police officer, obviously. And, I can't remember his name, but great, great servant to the country. And we were getting towards the end of the shift, and we got a call to go to a reserve, right? A native reserve, not a nature reserve, for anyone who didn't get the accent there. You told me a lot about these places before anyway, that they're pretty sketchy. And we went looking around for this guy, and we thought we'd found him, and they were like, run. There was another policeman with us at this time, and they were like, run, run. And because they had these big vests on, yeah, I was running out in front of them, like unarmed, like, dude, what do I do now? What do I do now, guys? slow down. I had to wait for him to go back up past me. We never caught the guy, yeah, at first, but then we went into this like basement area, yeah, and we found a bunch of weed plants
before it was legal.
Yeah, so we confiscated those, and I was sitting in the back of the car, you know, just holding these weed plants as we drove back to the station. And then they were like, thanks, good work, welcome to the force.
Give you a badge.
Yeah, they gave me a badge and everything. International team. But yeah, it was pretty fun, to be honest.
I mean, man, you're lucky that you got that experience, because they're actually not allowed to do that anymore, like ride-alongs.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a liability now, an insurance liability. So I mean, like technically something had happened to you, or they got shot and then you got shot as well. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, like even the other crime scenes we went to, things weren't crazy, but like you could see like maybe like a drunk guy, you know, starting a fight, yeah? And as you said, that could be an easy insurance claim, because if I'm next to the police guy and it's me who gets hit, I mean, yeah. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to sue the policeman for that anyway, but somebody could do. If you had an American with you, imagine.
Imagine somebody knocked out your tooth. Your other tooth, dude, you look like a reverse fucking bunny. Next up is Croatia. That's the year that I was studying abroad, and then we decided to do a little trip before going to Germany. And was there any highlights for you on that trip?
Yeah, we went to a place called Zlatni Rat.
Oh, which is one
of my favorite beaches in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
This beach is like, it's like a geographic freak, yeah, to be honest, because there's not many places that compare to
it. It's on Hvar?
Because, it's connected to the mainland.
No, maybe it's an island.
But it's not Hvar.
Let me keep talking. I'll
check the name of the island. But anyway, it's like its own peninsula of sand, because it's surrounded on three sides by water, right? But it's not like it goes away during high tide. Like, it never gets washed away. The beach is always there, because sometimes you see sand blocks appear, like sand islands. This is constantly there. And in the background, you've got all these like enormous mountains with like forest and things like that. You've got good parties going on there. But anyway, the beach is interesting that you're surrounded by water on three sides.
The island is Brač, which is you have Brač and then you have Hvar right after you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that if I'd have stood here all day.
Yeah, me neither. But yeah,
that was
a sweet trip. I remember me, you, and that's where we met Sven, who we've had on for one of the first episodes in season one. Yeah, yeah. And do you remember when we went to the natural reserve or the national park, Kirka?
Yeah. Oh, dude, Kirka was awesome. We took the football with us as well.
Football, smoked a bit of weed, got to go through the that was pretty cool.
Yeah, threw a couple spirals.
diving catch.
To be fair, yeah, diving off of a rock into like a waterfall pool to catch an American football is like most people's dream, really.
Yeah, that was quite fun. Next up was Brazil. Brazil had some fireworks.
Well, we did Hill Run before that, right? After Croatia.
Yeah, I guess, like, yeah. Direct. So we did.
Well, in the most indirect way possible, because you took us about 200 kilometers.
Yeah,
away.
That was probably one of the longest. Sid, I remember at one point, so I had all my gear going. So we were going to Heilbronn, where I was studying in Germany, and I had all my shit for a year. I had literally an 80-liter pack on my backpack, plus another backpack. Sid had less stuff. But I remember Sid, after we'd been walking for, I think it was like four or five hours at least, and there was no hotels available in town, and the place I was supposed to stay at was closed. Sid looked at me and he's like, I've been shot at in a war zone in Sri Lanka, and this is a harder day.
Yeah, it was just really great. It all started when we booked those flights. And then Googled where the airport was afterwards, yeah. And realized that it was basically on the border with the Netherlands. And we were going to have to traverse the entire northwest of Germany to get to our destination on the same day.
Yeah, it was definitely like one of the longest days of my life. But and I also like that driver who tried to get us to the hotel. And then we almost ended up in a river, driving into a river. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, it was one of the weirdest nights ever. But it was quite an experience. I guess just next after that is we went to go see Jim in Wuppertal. Sorry, Ricky.
Yeah. Keep going.
And I think the highlight for me there was just we watched a bunch of, I think it was Euros there.
Yeah, it was the Euros.
And I remember you throwing something at you. England was playing Russia, the country of England, and you threw something at some Russian people.
Yeah. That was our first night there. So we'd only just got into that bar. It was the first game, and I was just like, "Fuck it, let's see what happens. Let's cause some problems." But
a few beers.
Yeah, in the end, they didn't want the scrap, which is probably for the best. You know what the Russians are like.
Yeah, and yeah. So I guess finally we've got Brazil and we've got Peru, which I think have been talked about quite a bit on this podcast. Brazil, there was some fireworks, near stabbing, dick grabs. All sorts of food. There was quite a bit of stuff that happened. Peru, Amazon, ayahuasca. Got engaged. I don't know. That was pretty good. World-class mountains. You know, we went to Machu Picchu. So, yeah. So
that'd be number one for most people.
Yeah. So, Sid, maybe start us off with your top five, dude.
Top five.
Peru, I think, is just, it's just unequivocally number one.
Yep.
Like, it was an 11 out of 10 trip all around. Like, the Amazon was awesome. Had so much. We didn't even mention that a moment ago. That, you know, going out, seeing all those animals, piranha fishing, just fucking awesome.
My first is Peru as well. I mean, just in my perspective, some of this stuff didn't happen while you were around, but I mean, I got robbed and my bag never showed up. So I literally had one pair of clothes and some other change. Like, I had another, I think, pair of underwear and a pair of shorts, and that's it I had for the whole trip. And to put it at number one just kind of demonstrates how good of that trip that was. If, you know what I mean, so much bad shit happened and it's still number one, I think it's undeniably number one.
Number two, I've got Malta, because our trip in Malta is really hard to explain in words, because it was just like the right people at the right time. You know, it's not the most exciting country you'll ever go to, but it is, you know, a little bit of a hidden gem, especially probably for North Americans who don't think about it too much. You know, there's a lot going on. But I just think it suited us well as like two young 18-year-olds looking to do a little bit of work, get a little bit of beach time in. Like, it offered everything we wanted at that time. And we made the most of that summer. Like, we cleaned house that summer.
We fucking, that summer was elite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it felt like every single night that we were there, which was almost for about a month, right? Three, 4 weeks.
No. I think we are over in the end.
It just felt like every single night we were there was like the best night of our lives at the time.
We were definitely over, because I spent over a month in Hostel Malti before I went to the hostel that I nearly burned down when I fell asleep with the oven on. we got pissed drunk. Yeah. Like, usual parties down Patcherville, and I came back and tried to make like chicken Kievs at 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke up to the sound of the owner like, what's going on with the fire extinguisher,
which was the ex-wife of the other hostel owner. Just to show people how degenerate we were, I remember there was this bar that gave tokens or like little little things. They were like little paper things, or like little coupons. They were 1 euro tequila coupons. And me and Sid would go pick them up and then go drink tequila.
To be honest, I think after a while, he knew that we were doing that. And because we were bringing people from our hostel anyway, he was just giving us to them like by the handful. I had spare ones left in my bag when I came back.
Me too. Yeah. Never forget.
I hope they're still valid. Can you imagine if they're still valid?
We should go back. 1 euro with inflation? Are you serious? But yeah, I think too, like just working there, like we actually planned to stay there longer. You ran out of money. I ran out of time on the visa and we just had to kind of split and leave for Scotland. But I mean, it was fucking cool, man. Like the hostel was unreal. The people, I think a lot of the people that we met, man, were unreal. They kind of really made the trip.
I think this is always the thing that we kind of spoke about this a few times, I think, over the years now, because we have been doing this for years. Yeah. When you get off the beaten path a little bit more, you do meet a different kind of person, you know, because you're probably not going to meet the same caliber of traveler in Paris, Amsterdam, Berlin that you would do in, say, Malta, you know, somewhere in the Amazon or North Vietnam.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's, you know, that's got to be considered. The more interesting place you go to, the more interesting the people, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, because there's
that rule. But...
yeah, I think, for example, like the Amazon, like there's more extreme people who go to the Amazon. Like a lot of people wouldn't go because of the snakes, spiders, stuff that can kill you. There's some extreme people that go to the Amazon. I don't think that, unless you're from there, you're already extreme, I guess. But
some motherfuckers just been born extreme, aren't they? Like... all jacked as fuck as well, right? Because they're just swinging machetes around as soon as they come out the womb. Like, ah!
Yeah, every step I make in my life, I might die. Like, not many places can say that. But before we jump to number three, I just want to say a little quick thing. I've been talking about Malta and my first experience in Europe for a long time to, you know, family members. Obviously, they kind of live vicariously through me for a while, and because, you know what I mean? Like, the first time I went to Europe, I literally didn't really know anybody who'd been to Europe. Like, I remember trying to find old colleagues from high school, being like, hey, man, I heard you were in Ireland for a week once. Can you tell me? Like, you know what I mean? I was just, like, researching. Like, it was my first trip ever, first backpacking trip. But anyways, everything kind of came full circle. One of my cousins reached out, and he's like, hey, man, I'm going through something a little bit in life right now. And he's like, how much would it be to do a 3-month backpacking trip in Europe? And I was like, dude, fucking right, let's go. That's the right question,
dude. If he wants as well, I'll give him my tokens to Plush for the 1 euro tequilas. I'll chip those in for his trip. He deserves them.
Yeah, dude. But I mean, at the end of the day, he's gonna find his own 1 euro tequila somewhere, or it might be
everybody's gotta go and gotta go make their own way,
or it might be 100 foreign palinkas, you know. Yeah, let's go number three.
Yeah I've got Brazil. It was very close to putting it number two. It's just one of those things, I think, that maybe a little bit of it felt slightly less special for me because it's a place where I've spent like a lot of the last 8 years. Yeah. So it almost feels like traveling at home in a way, even though they were new places that we did. But, you know, Belo Horizonte, most bars per square meter in the world. Yeah. The hike we did in Bahia, awesome. Salvador, we also had a lot of fun, you know, and as you said earlier, it was eventful. Yep. So, you know, we saw a sloth.
Yeah, we saw a sloth. Guy thought we were on drugs. We're like, hey, he's like, what are you stupid teens looking at? We're like, a sloth.
Dude, we're looking at the slow monkey.
But it truly was a sweet trip. Brazil's forever in my heart. And yeah, same for me. It's at three. We didn't compare notes before doing this, which is really cool, which kind of speaks to how connected we are. Oh my God. Can't wait to do ayahuasca with you.
Like a bromance.
But yeah, no, Brazil was super cool. The food I thought was amazing. And, you know, we did it with Amanda too, which was really fun to, you know, meet her and to get to travel with her as well. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. One thing I will add about Brazil is obviously me and Amanda as well know more about it now than we did when you came to visit. Because obviously it is such a ridiculously big country.
Mm. It's huge.
That we could, a little bit like we said about Peru once as well, just because Peru's got so many destinations more than because of the size. But yeah, you could come back and do another 2-3 weeks and have a completely different trip.
Yeah, dude, look at how big it is.
Yeah, I can see it from here, man, because it's out the window.
It's pretty wild.
And also on your map. I know, I'm looking at you. But yeah, you know, like we could go to the, like, okay, it's still the Amazon, but it's, you know, it's a different part of the Amazon, different traditions, things like this, different wildlife. You know, we can go to the beaches in the northeast, which we didn't go further north than Bahia last time. We can go to see the European Brazilians in the south. We can go to the Pantanal, man. We can go searching for jaguars because they do have jaguars down there. People see jaguars every trip there.
Yes, dude. Nick Clear, who we'll get to a little bit better, a little bit later in the episode. He does tours out in Brazil, which is, if people don't remember who Nick Clear is, he's the guy who was in the Kruger National Park in South Africa. So essentially we're like giraffes, lions, all this shit is in the background. He was the one with the, anyways, so he's going to come up later in the episode, but he had mentioned that he does tours in to see jaguars in Brazil.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Number four.
Probably where we differ.
Maybe. I've got Croatia. What have you got?
For me, well, I didn't know that we were going to talk about the trip, so I picked Germany for Heilbronn. Just that adventure. Not to say that I didn't like I think when we're picking stuff, like I think I enjoyed Croatia more in terms of, you know, relaxation, you know, having some drinks, the climate's more nice. But I thought that the experience getting into Heilbronn was like one of my all time. It's probably like top 10 stories. So I picked Heilbronn.
That story was great, but Heilbronn would probably be bottom of my list, even below Paris, because we only had one key to that apartment, and I ended up sleeping outside. Because for reasons we won't get into. And then some guy called Rex let me into his apartment building, which was not even your apartment building. I just slept in this other person's apartment. Because, because it was like fucking 6 degrees and I was out in a t-shirt.
Dude, 6 degrees is like summer.
Yeah, but not for me. So I went to this other building, and because nobody in your building would let me in. And I rang all of them until this guy called Rex let me in. And he's like, yeah, man, come up. It's no problem. So fuck Heilbronn. Well, fuck you, I should say, because that was your fault. Anyway, Croatia.
Oh, fuck.
Dude, I think we already said the good things about Croatia. It's just a great country. Yeah. Like, it's really one of my, it's probably my favorite place in Europe. Either that or Hungary or Malta. It's probably the top three.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I asked my mom what she was turning 15. She turned this to a mom episode. She was turning 15. I said, what do you want to do for your 50th birthday? And she said, she didn't even stutter. She's like, I want to go to Croatia. So we spent a month there, dude. And like you said, it's a leap. The weather's amazing. The history's amazing. I mean, they have that sensitive, but you know what I mean, recent war in Yugoslavia, you know what I mean, there's the whole Game of Thrones aspect to it that people are just so jacked up about, which is one of the reasons why they closed the gates to the old city in Dubrovnik during the summer at times. But yeah, just so many amazing places for me. Yeah. I think I did one of the better things in Croatia that I didn't do with you, which was to go to Korčula. I really like Korčula.
I have been there, though, funnily enough. I was going to actually mention something from that trip that I did before I got to see you, which was I hitchhiked from Belgrade to Zagreb, and then from Zagreb down the coast. And man, it was awesome. Like, such friendly people. Yeah. Really scenic, picturesque coastline. You just got all these dramatic mountains. Yeah. Fantastic seafood, like tiny little fishing villages. Like, it looks like everybody in the village is out swimming at the same time because they've got nothing to do other than fish and swim. Man, it's fucking idyllic. Like, I could really get into that lifestyle.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's your number five?
Now I assume we'll be different as well. I've got New Brunswick at five because I just think, like, the police thing, there's no fucking way you'd get to do that anywhere else. Well, it would be very hard for somebody to do anywhere in the world, even with contacts.
Yeah, literally.
It's a very, very unique thing to go and do. So I fucking always hold that close to me. The hunting thing was cool too. You know, we had a good time with your buddies, you know, because we were a little bit older. We had a little bit more money. It was a little bit easier to go out and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, caused a bunch of problems in two different cities. So.
Yeah, that chick who was drunk who picked you up.
Oh, yeah, I always forget about that. I tried to hitch a ride home after the night out. Because I don't know how I'd lost you, but it was just traditional.
Well, it's literally because you visited me at the worst time. I was restarting my university career after literally failing out. And Sid's like, I booked a flight. I was like, oh, okay. Come on down, buddy. I still wanted to see you.
No, but
I had class the next morning after we were out one night, I think.
No, but what I mean by that is there is a phase, because in Malta, we went out together, and unless we separated intentionally, we never accidentally separated. Mm. Never had that problem in Scotland. We never had that problem in England. That began afterwards from Paris, the dentist night, and then it continued for a period of time. And this happened during that period of time where we could not get ourselves to stick together. So anyway, I got lost. Yeah. And I hitchhiked. And this mad fucking drunk driver took me deep into the countryside. And then after we'd had like some big argument, yeah, it was a girl and a guy, yeah. And I don't know if they were a couple. The guy said nothing. The guy said literally nothing for an hour in the car, yeah. We were not supposed to be in the car for an hour. And she was all chatting. And she was somewhere between flirting and like sounding like a psychopathic killer. So I really didn't know what to expect. And she's like, right, I'm going to go back, yeah. So when she took us back into the city, she crashed into the wall of a McDonald's. Man, I got out of the car and just sprinted. I was like, fuck this. I've been with this pair of clowns for over an hour now. I'm actually sobering up. I just want to get back to the house because I know where it is. Man, I got into this gas station, yeah, where they got this little blue canoe outside. I'll always remember it. And yeah, I spoke nicely with the guy. There was like a canoe outside. Anyway, forget that. Doesn't matter. You might remember it eventually.
Okay.
Right, and I spoke with the guy, and eventually he managed to call somebody because my phone wouldn't work there or anything. He managed to call someone to come and pick me up. Might have been a taxi driver. I don't think I had any money with me. Your house was only like 5 minutes away, and then one of the guys let me in. I think it was Sly, actually.
Yeah, and I think anyway. He had a baseball bat in his hand because he didn't know what the fuck was going on. which man, I literally told this story last week to people in Fredericton, and they were like losing their shit. They couldn't believe that happened in Fredericton. They were like, holy shit, like that's like that never happens, but it happens when it sits.
Dude,
in
do you
town.
Not remember the gas station? Yeah, I've always had that aura about me, unfortunately, or fortunately, it depends how you look at it. Walking down dark alleyways and shit like that would do it too. Do you not remember the gas station with the canoe? Did I make that up?
Well, it's the same brand, but there's just another one a little bit further down that has the canoe, which wouldn't make sense for you to have walked there. Like from the McDonald's, there's an Irving, but it might have had a canoe before, but there's another one that's called the Blue Canoe, but it's near the highway. Anyways, long story short, you were at an Irving, you made it home, everything's good.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my five. What have you got?
I got England, dude.
No way.
Yeah, I picked England.
Shocked.
Reason why is because I got to go to the home of soccer and smoke some fucking English boys at soccer.
As if.
I could smoke some boys at soccer, scored at least a few goals, at least, okay?
I could count the number of goals you scored on my left thumb, which was one.
But to be fair, could you imagine walking into Canada and doing that? Putting on some skates and scoring a goal on some... there's no way.
I think there's a very, very slim chance I would pull that off. So congratulations. You should be very, very proud of yourself. Like scoring a goal in England is different.
England is the best soccer team in the world, right?
Agreed. At international soccer, where countries play other countries, yes.
Perfect. Anyways, I scored a couple goals. It might have been on Brendan, but I mean, fuck, they count. So
it was one, but anyway...
I don't think anybody scored on me, though, because I'm fucking cat.
One last thing I'll say about those number fives, right? I don't know if you've had that experience, but through a lot of my life, whenever I've said to people, like, oh, I've been to Canada, you would, oh, dude, how was Vancouver? Did you like Vancouver? Man, did you like Toronto? Like, no, and I went to New Brunswick. Everybody's like, what were you doing in New Brunswick?
We just drive through New Brunswick.
Must be the same for you, though, when you say, yeah, I went to Bognor Regis.
Oh, dude, yeah, I bring it up all the time. They're like, yeah, like, what'd you do in Bognor Regis? I scored on some locals, dude, like, played football. Just, like, just smoked the fuck out of them. Sid, do you mind if we do a new segment sponsored by Hangover Supplement No Days Wasted? Listeners can get 15% off by using promo code 2beers.
I'd love it if we did that.
Well, Sid, there's a new... In this new segment, I'd like to talk about something that is, I think, really interesting. I want to talk about some conspiracy travel news. In the first part of conspiracy travel news, I want to talk about the article that I sent you recently that was posted in the BBC, so I don't have to put a tinfoil hat on. The case of one of their, I think it was one of their executives in terms of like production at Boeing, claiming that Boeing would recycle parts on planes that were subpar. And essentially, I guess the timetable of what happened is that this guy worked at Boeing. He saw what was kind of happening. He retired due to kind of it being against his ethics. And then from the moment he retired to the moment that we'll get to is that he tried to sue Boeing for, you know what I mean? Because he knew that there was a potential of danger for passengers. Boeing being, one of the two large airline companies in the world. We've seen a few of maybe some of the things that he's talked about, seeing some of the planes that, you know what I mean? Like doors ripping off, We've seen
that was hilarious.
You know what I mean? Like some really weird stuff that's happened. So it brings some substance to his story. And then so he started doing a deposition to Boeing and I think somebody else in terms in court to kind of testify to what he experienced working for Boeing. And then mysteriously, after trying to fight them for 4 or 5 years, decided to unalive himself mysteriously.
That's one hell of a word. I mean, it's one of those things. It's too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence, isn't it?
Well, he's essentially the Jeff Epstein of the travel world.
And we all know that Jeff Epstein is still alive. Or are we digging in now to the wrong conspiracy? We'll leave that for next week. But there have been a lot of incidents on Boeing flights, especially compared to Airbus, for example. Yeah. So this story does add up.
It does.
And the timing of his unaliving is extremely, extremely odd.
It's very, it raises some eyebrows. And I think just something else to kind of put into perspective is that capitalism as a system requires companies to, I mean, increase profits from quarter to quarter. Typically, board members are pushing for increased profits. And I'm not sure why Boeing was doing this, if they were actually doing this, but it's, I guess, the same concept that we are seeing with a lot of our like food products and stuff like that, that they're using cheaper products that are maybe not as good for us. You know what I mean? That they're using shittier airplane parts because they need to hit a certain profit per quarter. You know what I mean? Kind of makes sense. The breaking point at some point.
Would you now be scared of flying on a Boeing?
No.
You're a brave man. I cancel my flights if I see it's Boeing.
I doubt that.
I only travel by ship these days. I'm Greta Thunberg.
Big horse guy. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add to this one, or what are your thoughts?
Well, I think the guy's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. So, the story will probably blow over, but I mean, there's probably going to be a fired documentary on Netflix at some point.
Yeah, but that will probably be the limit of how exciting it gets from here, because it's a sad case, but these things don't tend to go much further because it's not going to be concrete evidence, but it's just quite clear what has happened. Because it's not like they're the first and only big company to be caught in a scandal.
No.
Like, I remember I watched a Netflix documentary on Volkswagen, for example.
Yeah, yeah. When Dirty Money, I think it was called.
Like the diesel emission. Yeah. Yeah, Dirty Money, what was the name? It was very good.
Yeah, I like that. Actually.
And a Volkswagen episode, for example, just reminded me of this, of a, you know, something to do with transport, and they're saying that they're doing things that they're not, you know. I have no reason to doubt anything that's been said that badmouths Boeing. I hope that doesn't mean that from now on all my flights are going to be more expensive.
Dude, you're getting fucking last seats.
dude, because the computer can hear me. This information's going straight to Skyscanner, straight to Boeing. That's it. My flight's doubling in price now.
Yeah.
Fucked.
Yeah. Anyways, it's an interesting story. I think some investigative journalists have to definitely pick at it a little bit more, but definitely something that's just doesn't sound right. The next one I want to talk about in terms of conspiracy travel news is one that includes a past guest. That's the only. Yes, dude. And it's the only reason I heard about it is because of him posting it on his story. Okay. He did share an article, which I wasn't able to find afterwards, but really fucked up. So the guest was Nick Clear from South Africa. So he was chartering a tour to Tanzania. They landed in the Kilimanjaro airport, as his description. And basically what he said happened is that at some point when he was like in a cafe getting a sandwich, that they started shooting. There was some shooting happening in the airport. Anyway, so he started like texting loved ones, calling loved ones like, hey, I might not make it. And I mean, this guy just got, I think he's gotten married recently. He just had a kid. And anyway, so he's freaking out with his tour group, and push comes to shove to find out what happened. And it was a test from the, I don't know who ordered this test, but it was a like a simulation to see how the airport security would react. So they staged a airport shooting to see how, and this apparently lasted for an hour.
Oh.
It's pretty fucked up.
I got a lot of messages from you around the time of this, so I'm aware of pretty much what you've said. I get the impression that something happened that might have been smaller scale than was made out.
Yeah.
Like perhaps it didn't take over the whole airport. Perhaps more people knew about it than, you know, was said at first, or it was better alarmed. but something strange happened.
Like, it's really
for somebody,
weird, dude.
You know, you know somebody who's been on the show, and as a fan of the show, I'm going to back him. You know, something must have happened for him to be in that situation where he's texting loved ones and for there to have been an article.
Dude.
If it was exactly what was said about it being an hour and maybe it took over the whole airport, I have doubts. It might have been maybe more isolated, but something happened and it was fucking weird.
That was from the article that he had shared.
But that's what I'm saying. There was an article written that was related to what he said, right?
Yeah. Anyways, I met the guy. Listen, I can't say that I met him twice. I met him once, but he kind of came off as like super solid guy, dude. So I don't think he would make that up. He like, I don't know why. There'd be no advantage for him to make that up, but it's just like, I haven't been able to find anything on the net about it other than that article he shared.
Ah, I'm not doubting that, but let me expand on what I meant, right? We've met a lot of travelers, yeah?
Yeah.
Done a lot of episodes together as well with some very questionable characters. I'm not saying this guy's questionable because I haven't met him, right? But imagine you're in the airport cafe, yeah? And they're like, right, block off the cafe. We're going to have a fake shooting outside, yeah? There are travelers, and we've both met this type, who would suddenly go straight to Twitter, whole airport under siege, terrorists are here.
Yeah, it's, I don't think that's, I agree with what you're saying, but I just think that there was something fucked up. Like, I saw a picture that he shared that, like, people were on the ground. Like, not just one, and it wasn't at the Starbucks. Like, it was, like, everywhere.
It's something strange happened, but fortunately, that's probably the end of it. Though, something may come as a response, whereas the Boeing thing runs a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I agree.
And perhaps affects a few more travelers.
Anyways, maybe some of the listeners who maybe have a bit more time than we do would, you know, have a look in to see what you can find. And if you do find something, share it with us, because I'd love to get to the bottom of what exactly happened. Speaking of the listeners, though, we did send out some, you know, mentioned that we were going to chat this week, and we did get some questions. We got one that...
This was a great idea.
I think you're the one who proposed it, but yeah. I think somebody proposed, one of the questions was, favorite cities in Eastern Europe. Okay, they just said that, but I'll give it a maybe a spin so that we can maybe give our best answer around this. So we're going to turn this into a little bit of a superlative. So Sid and I are going to take, we're going to kind of give a theme, and then Sid and I will both give our city that we think hits that best superlative. So Sid, best party city in Eastern Europe.
So everything's in Eastern Europe, right? Dude, that is such a great question, because like most of the best party cities in the world are in Eastern Europe. Like those lunatics who are under the communist regime for a while, they just know how to go out and enjoy themselves. I love Eastern Europe and Eastern Europeans. And the only people I hate are people who think that term is offensive, because I have met those people too. This is not Eastern Europe. This is Central Europe. Fuck off. You are east of the wall. This is Eastern Europe. Or the curtain, sorry.
10 seconds.
Belgrade.
Yeah.
Belgrade.
So that was the one I was thinking too. I just haven't been, so I'm not going to be able to say Belgrade. So I'm going to say Prague.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Best beach.
Zlatni Rat.
That's the one I had to.
Mentioned it already.
I think yeah. A lot of the Adriatic coast is all rocky, so I didn't feel like there was too many nice beaches, but I felt like Zlatni Rat was one that stood out to me.
Yeah. Dude, Albania is popping off as an option for kind of Eastern European tourism. It's still super cheap.
Yeah, but I just haven't been.
Dude, there's some sleeper picks in Bulgaria as well. We went to Varna.
On the Black Sea?
On the Black Sea, yeah. And it was pretty good. Not on a par with Zlatni Rat. I was just saying there are other options.
Yeah, cool. Shittiest city in Eastern Europe.
This is a bit off radar for some people, but Kaunas in Lithuania. We went there because we'd been in Vilnius and we had a great fucking time. Like, Vilnius is a real, real hidden gem, yeah. And everybody had been like, Kaunas is great. Kaunas is even better. We went to Kaunas and it was a shithole. There was nothing to do. The bars were awful. The people weren't as fun. There weren't many girls there. And so we just went on a rampage, just trying to like cause whatever chaos we could do. We ended up taking the sign from like an ice cream stand because there was nothing else to do. And we managed to get it back into the hostel and the guy went crazy. But yeah, we made the best of a bad situation. Kaunas was a dump.
Listen, I haven't really been to any shitty cities in Eastern Europe, but if I have to pick one, there's one that sticks out, which is Bratislava.
Yeah, Bratislava is shit.
I just didn't feel like when you go to the other side of the river or the lake, it's, you know, it's Austria. Anyways, I just didn't think that there was much to it. I didn't say that I hate it. I just think that it's, of the ones I've been to, the one that kind of stood out the least.
I'll say a quick thing on Bratislava. Two things. The castle is better than Prague's castle, but other than that, it's
fucking... Prague's castle sucks.
Prague's sometimes, yeah. I've been to Bratislava twice, and both times it was so boring, I took a day trip to Austria.
There you go. Cheapest city.
In Eastern Europe. For me... post-boom, which is an absolute exaggeration of the word boom, Skopje.
Yeah. See, the cheapest I've been to was Budapest.
Which is pretty cheap, but expensive in places.
Yeah, exactly. If you're somewhat careful, you can get really fucking far. Like, as a backpacker, this is 2012, things have changed, people are going there a lot more. But, dude, like, I remember leaving Germany, then Czech Republic, and then going there, and I was like, you know, somewhat on a budget on those in those other countries. And I remember going to Hungary and be like, dude, I don't need to be on a budget. Like, I can go to the restaurant, I can, you know what I mean, I don't have to cook my own meals, yeah. I can drink beer and every night if I want to.
Yeah. Just to clarify what I mean by post-boom, first time I went to Skopje was maybe 11 years ago, yeah? And we went again after that, so we'd spent nearly 2 weeks there. We never saw another tourist, yeah? And it was one of the cheapest places I've ever been in my life. A couple of years after that, we went back when Ricky got married, yeah? So we know it very well. And suddenly you'd start to encounter that the hostels were pretty full, you might see other tourists in bars, and the prices got, not high, but higher than Sofia,
right?
For example, in Bulgaria.
Interesting. Where's the best hostel?
In Eastern Europe.
Do you want to say it? 1, 2, 3. We can say it.
Pink
Panther, baby. Krakow. Yes!
In Poland. Later, the Pink Panther.
What a spot. Hidden gem.
Give me Vilnius then. I've already bigged it up. I thought Vilnius was great. Great bar scene. Interesting architecture. It's got a big lake with a castle in it, just outside of the city. Great beer. I don't know if I already said that. Great women. I don't know if I already said that one too. Fucking nothing bad to say about the place.
Nice. Mine is, I've got two. I got Brno in Czech Republic, which is the second biggest city. I don't know if it was just because I got really cool, like, one, the architecture is really cool. Has like a, when I kind of went, like the castle and stuff like that, like there's no lines. There's nobody there. Walked in and basically was in the dungeon by myself, and it was kind of creepy a little bit, but I thought it was cool as hell.
That's cool.
I mean, just to have a castle to yourself is pretty sweet. I may be biased a little bit because there was a lot of hockey tournaments during that time in Brno, which just so happened to happen. It wasn't something I planned. So for me, I thought that was so cool, and I just really loved the city. I was staying downtown with a friend, and he was in a penthouse downtown, so the living conditions were really good as well. So that was really cool. Another one that I'll give you guys a little tip for a hidden gem in terms of if you want to stay in Dubrovnik in Croatia, but let's say it's the summer and it's super expensive to stay in Dubrovnik. So actually this is my fiance who found this place. It's a place called Savtat, which is south of the city of Dubrovnik, and it's the end of one of the bus lines. And dude, we stayed there, and I think we were paying around like 50 or 60 bucks a night. This place is not big. It's a small place. You can very much do your day trips into Dubrovnik and then come back there and have a much more normal, non-touristy, it's still a little touristy, but not super touristy.
That's cool.
Experience. And super cool is that actually in succession, they did a trip to Savtat with all their, so there's a bunch of yachts that go there, and we were watching succession, we're like, holy shit, that looks like Savtat. Turns out it's Savtat. So there's a lot of yachts that go there, and anyways, food's really good. It's anyways, super cool place, Savtat. Check it out. Coolest historic place of Eastern Europe.
The coolest historic place of Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
I just fucking answer because there's no point getting into technicalities. Probably Mostar Bridge is very interesting. Cool. Just because maybe we've spoken about this before, but it's very interesting shape. It looks really nice in and amongst the valley, and you can jump off of it. You know, so it's like a cool little city, bunch of little bars, and they just got this mad bridge in the middle that you can jump off into. It's quite a small river, actually. It's very dangerous. I didn't do it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Not because I was scared, because I don't know how to dive. You actually jump anyway, but I was being a bit of a pussy. Anyway, it was fucking cool. That was the point I wanted to make.
For me, I think it's Kotor. I thought Kotor's old city.
The Bay of Kotor.
Yeah, Bay of Kotor. The Kotor, old city was one that I didn't expect I'd like. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to Croatia, and Croatia was the main place we're going for my mom's birthday and stuff like that. But then Jack and I ventured into Montenegro, did Ulcin or whatever, and Kotor. And Kotor, man, was like, the old city is like fucking beautiful. I thought it was really cool. You see the castle from above. We went up to the castle. Castle's maybe not as in good pristine shape as it should be, but I thought it was still really cool.
Just to throw the one that I was debating in there quickly. When we went to Transnistria, which is a country, but a breakaway republic in the east coast of Moldova, for anyone who doesn't know, they have a Lenin statue. And I don't mean John Lennon from the Beatles, like Lennon from the USSR. Yeah. And, you know, it's quite unique to find that kind of stuff around these days. So that's pretty cool as well.
That's, yeah, pretty interesting. You know, we're two guys that just really love geography. I remember Sid and I, we were in a canoe in Peru. And you know, we had a couple beers. We were just chilling. The weather was nice. And we just started messing around with each other playing. You know, we're competitive guys. So we started doing, hey, let's do countries around the world. You know, start with A. So he'd name a country A. I'd name a country A. So Albania, Algeria. We kept going, and then we go to whoever loses has to take a sip of beer. And we kind of want to do this today to end the podcast, but we want to do it instead of being against each other. We want to be on the same team, and we want to try to do back and forth naming all the countries of Asia.
Just before we begin this, that day in Peru was probably one of the greatest travel days in history. Like, we literally just met a guy on the riverbank and paid him to take us out for beer, or to go somewhere to get beers, and then take us out to find anacondas. Like, the guy was fucking lunatic.
But do you remember when we went to go get the beers? We ended up in this small village, and we were the two tallest people there.
We were taller than the roofs of the buildings, and everybody was chasing, white guys, white guys, white guys. That was fucking awesome.
What a fucking day. But anyways, so we went to go see anacondas and shit that day. It was pretty wild. But anyways, so now what we want to do to finish the episode is we want to do all... how many countries are there? So we have a quiz up here. 49 countries in Asia. And we want to go back and forth. Yeah, 49 is more than I thought. Back and forth, Sid and I. We've got 10 minutes to do it. And we have to go back and forth. So if ever we have to pass, you know, after 10 seconds or so, one of us has to take, or the person that passes has to take a drink. So anyways, this is a bit more for the people on YouTube. I'm going to share my screen onto the quiz, and we're going to get into it. So are you ready, Sid?
Yeah, I've got a big one.
And Sid, if we don't finish all the countries, we have to have a punishment. So I think we'll have to finish our beers.
Yeah, agreed.
If we don't do it all.
Agreed.
Perfect. Let's play quiz. 1, 2, 3, go. Start us off.
Russia.
Turkey.
Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan.
Got it.
Yes.
Let's go. I'm going to go with Tajikistan.
Nice. Let me fill in that little gap. Georgia.
The state.
Yes, the state. State
Turkmenistan.
Armenia.
It's Turkmenistan. Oh man, this is tough. Okay.
Armenia.
I'm gonna go with Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Syria.
Lebanon.
Israel.
Fuck, how do you spell Israel? Okay, there you go. Palestine. Fuck, it is a country. Jesus Christ.
No way. Give me Jordan.
Good one. Saudi. No way. Arabia.
Yeah, man.
Oman.
UAE.
Kuwait.
Bahrain.
Let's go Iran.
Qatar.
Sri Lanka.
Iraq.
India.
Bangladesh.
Uzbekistan.
Pakistan.
Hold on a second. Okay, Pakistan.
Dude, your spelling is fucking dope. Like, I'm really impressed with your spelling.
Bhutan.
Afghanistan.
China.
The missing star is Kyrgyzstan.
All right. Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, no, we're going to get done on the spelling.
Shit. Fuck. Okay, let's keep moving.
Come back to it. Come back to Mongolia. Come back to it. We can't afford to lose time.
Yeah. Six
Korea.
Minutes. Which one?
You can choose. The good one. I love it when people call them the good one and the bad one.
North Korea, South Korea, Nepal.
Thailand. Yeah, that's good.
Maldives.
That's where you were looking earlier, right? In the ocean.
Got it.
Yes. Vietnam.
Timor-Leste.
Good. Cambodia.
Heard of it. Let's go Indonesia.
Lao. Sam May episode 5, season 1.
Yeah, shout out. That's Myanmar.
Yeah. So we need... can you stop moving the map? Philippines?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Papua New Guinea counts as Australasia or Oceania, whatever you want to call that continent.
Singapore.
Yeah. Malaysia.
Brunei, is that one? That's one. Brunei. Yeah. Let's go, baby.
So we're missing Taiwan.
Mm.
Controversial, but I think it's going to count it.
Yeah. 48 out of 49. And the last one is Kyrgyzstan.
We need Kyrgyzstan. Dude, it's just Kyrgyzstan.
How do you
write that? 4.5 minutes to find out how to spell Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan.
Okay. Could it be Stan?
No. It's hold on. Let me fucking think. It's Kyrgyzstan. No, there's no TH. It's Kyrgyzstan. No. Fuck.
No. Definitely two Y's in there.
Fuck. Fuck. We know it. We just don't know how to spell it. 352. Shit. I know it's a K-Y. R is for sure. R, G is for sure. So K-Y-R-G.
Kyrgyzstan. No, it's not an A. Kyrgyzstan? Is there an extra? No, it's not a U. This is a spelling technicality when we spelled 48 countries correctly. Are we not allowed to Google this?
Oh, it says Kurdistan, which is not even a fucking country. Kyrgyzstan. Fuck. Okay, I've got it.
Yeah!
Kyrgyzstan.
Dude, we fucking crushed that.
That's in fucking 6 minutes and 51 seconds, boys.
Dude, and 1 minute 20 of that was spelling Kyrgyzstan. We would have been around the halfway mark on another day.
Average people do it and they only get 80%.
Amateur. That's why they don't host podcasts, Phil.
Two beers. Yeah. Anyways, dude, this was awesome.
A lot of fun today.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man.
All right, we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to Two Beers Till Takeoff. Do you want free additional content or just to stay connected with the show? Then give us a follow on our social media platform. That means TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. Are you in need of podcast production services, video editing, or anything in between? Then look no further than Strut Sound Productions, the official producer of the Two Beers Till Takeoff podcast. Music produced by Alex Gagne. Check out his work in our show notes. Voiceover done by Viking Leo K. See you next week on Two Beers Till Takeoff.